If you would turn to John chapter 1 in your Bibles. This morning we looked at a bookend phrase in the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous and be careful to do all that's in the law of Moses. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And we saw that was in the first chapter and almost the last chapter in chapter 23. That same phrase came back around at the end. And we're going to see something similar tonight in the book of John. And that is the simple command, follow me. We see it down there in verse 43 of John chapter 1, where it says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, flip over to John chapter 21. In what are basically the last words that John records from Jesus, John chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus is talking to Peter. He said to him, if it is my will that he remain till I come, talking about John, what is that to you? You follow me. And he had already repeated that a few verses before when he was telling him, feed my sheep and those things. Follow me. So from one end of John's story to the other, almost Jesus' first command and almost the last thing he says in the book of John is, follow me. And that is I don't know that it could be any simpler of a sentence than that. So easy to understand, and yet it's so rich in meaning if you just start thinking about what does it mean? Follow me. There's a lot that you can dig out of that, believe it or not, those two words. So to help us see all the richness of that, we're going to look at how it is used in several places in Matthew's gospel. So you can turn over to Matthew chapter 4. We'll come back to John 21 at the very end. But in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start and we're going to look at a series of passages where Jesus says, follow me. And each one gives us a layer of meaning or a new shade or shines a little light on what it means when Jesus says to someone, follow me, and how that applies to us this evening. As well. In fact, it's as simple as saying, in one sense, that being a disciple is all about that simple command. Because a disciple is someone who follows a teacher. And so when Jesus says, follow me, he's calling someone to be a disciple of his, one of his disciples. So if we are a disciple of Christ this evening, then what we have said is, I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. But what does that mean? And that's what we're going to be digging out tonight. As we look at these passages. So the first thing we see is following Jesus, the command to follow me is a command to change what you're doing, where you are, where you're headed, and go in a new direction. In Matthew chapter 4, in beginning of verse 18, it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. It's interesting, verse 18 says, they were fishermen. Well, they were fishermen. Jesus says, follow me. And by implication, you're not going to be that anymore. This is going to be a major turning point in your life. To this point in time, you've been a fisherman. That's who you are. That's your identity. That's your occupation. If somebody says, hey, what do you do? I'm a fisherman. Jesus is saying, follow me. I've got a new plan for your life. I've got something new. And we are told as well, when we say, I want to be a Christian, Paul says, all who are in Christ are a new creation. We're given a new purpose. We're given a new mission. We're given a new direction. And so now we have a purpose in life, which is following Jesus. And this is a new path for us. It's something different. So it's a change in our lives from the old me. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come, Paul says. And follow me also requires making a choice to leave that old way behind. In fact, in Luke's account of this, it says, when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So there was a boat, in fact, it was a boat full of a miraculous catch of fish that was so full it was nearly sinking. And yet when Jesus said, now follow me, they walked away from the catch of a lifetime. because they had found something new to do. They were going to follow Jesus. And that trumped everything else in their life. That trumped all their other goals and everything, because now I've got a mission. I am a follower of Christ. I'm going to do what he says, and I'm going to follow him. I think many people are looking for some sort of purpose to their life. Many people in the world, they don't know, why am I here? What is this all about? What is my point in existing? What is my life really about? When we find that call from Jesus that says, hey, come follow me. I'm going to make you something different. I'm going to give your life a meaning and a purpose. Now we find what we're here for. What my point in existing is, my purpose in being and living is following Jesus. We're a disciple of his. And so that's the first thing we find when we answer that call, is a new path. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. In fact, turn over to chapter 8 of Matthew, chapter 8. Jesus doesn't say that the path that he's calling us to is an easy path. In fact, it's a difficult path. Matthew 8, beginning verse 18, Jesus saw a crowd around him, and he gave orders to go to the other side. A scribe came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I think he wants this, you know, this guy's come up and people say, hey, this being a Christian's a cool thing. I mean, I want to follow Jesus. This is going to be exciting. And he's obviously a good teacher. And that's a good thing to do, right? To follow Jesus. And Jesus says, before you do that, take a good look at me. Look at my life. You're going to follow me. You're going to live like me. And at this point, Jesus is basically homeless. And I think he's making sure this guy has asked himself, do you understand what you're signing up for? This is not an easy path to walk. This is not some life of luxury. I happened to be able to go visit this past week, and I hope to be able to tell you a lot more about this in the weeks to come. But I went to the jail here. They're starting a new class, and I went just as an observer. It's actually some people from West Fayetteville that do that. And so it's something I'm interested in getting involved in, so I went to sit in and watch. And if it all works out, and this is a slow process, but if it all works out, some point in the future, we may have opportunities to do some of that ourselves. But at this point, I'm just watching. But so I went in to watch, and one of the things the guy said in the class was that, in discussing this, some people get the idea, especially when overcoming problems and even addictions and things like that, that I know the answer is I need to become a Christian. And then they think, if I become a Christian, life is going to be much easier and better. They get this idea that, okay, I'm going to give up and give it to God, and I'm going to do things his way, and now all these problems are going to go away. But what do you find instead? Definitely not the case. Maybe you get a different kind of problems. But the Christian life is not a life that's free from problems or free from temptations. Or free from challenges. And that comes as a surprise to people. They think, well, I don't understand. I've become a Christian. I was baptized. Why am I still struggling? Why is this stuff hard? Jesus never said, come follow me. I'm going to show you the easy path. Like those of us who play video games, you know, sometimes you find a little cheat where you could, you skip over several levels some easy way. Or I remember Mario Brothers. I don't know if y'all ever, anyway, Mario Brothers? You could sort of hop up on top of the screen some places. It's almost like a fluke in the game. And you just walk along. And you're missing all the little dangerous things down there. It's like, hey, this is really easy. But that's not the path that Jesus is showing us. Some kind of cheat to get from level 1 to level 8 without any difficulties. His path is just as hard. Maybe even has its own difficulties that you wouldn't face out there in the world. And yet, it is still worth it because we are following the Lord. And we'll get to some of that later. As we decide to follow Jesus, there should be a certain urgency about that. We see this here in the same passage. Let's just, we'll keep reading. Verse 21, another of his disciples said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Some people have this idea, you know I'm going to follow Jesus. I mean, there's no question. I'm going to be a Christian. I want to do that. It makes sense. It's the right thing to do. It'll be good for me. But down the road, this isn't the right time. I still want to have some fun, you know. I still want to do this. I've got things in my life going on. I got some other things I got to take care of. And Lord, I'll be right with you. You just, you go on ahead, and I'm going to take care of some things. And when the time is right, I'll follow you. But you can imagine here, literally, as Jesus is passing through town, it's either following now or don't. He's going to move on. That opportunity is going to go. And, you know, in our lives, sometimes people put it off and they do have an opportunity later. But sometimes people put it off and they don't get that opportunity. Sometimes they don't live to see that opportunity. Or what happens, I think, more often, that moment they're feeling it, I need to become a Christian. I know it's the right thing. I know this is true. I know that's right. I know I'm wrong. I need to change. Well, if you put it off now, tomorrow you may not be feeling that way. The next day, and eventually that feeling goes away. When I worked at a suit store selling suits, they taught us this as a sales thing. By the way, here's a little tip for you guys that go shopping. They told us to say this. So you would say they're looking at something and they're not really sure. And they may want to go shop around and see if they can find something that they like better or cheaper or whatever somewhere else. What you say to the person is, why don't you go ahead and buy it now? And you can return it if you find something else. That's very key because, number two things. One, if they buy it, chances are they're not going to bring it back. People are not likely to return stuff. It's like you just don't do it very often. Secondly, if you walk out that door, chances are you're not coming back if you don't buy it now. Because they go on about their bit and they shop somewhere else, they just don't come back. They may say in their minds, oh, I'll come back, but they don't. I mean, it's just human nature, sort of. So it's like, go ahead and decide now, because if you don't buy it now and you walk away, every now and then a surprise, you know, come back in the door, but a lot of times they're gone. And so you want to make that choice right now to go ahead and commit. Well, and the same thing, Jesus is walking through and the guy says, hey, I'm going to follow you, but first, say, no, if you're going to do it, do it. Make up your mind while you're thinking about it, while it's on your heart, while it's on your mind. Make that commitment now. You may not make it or have the opportunity to make that same commitment later. Now, some people might think, well, this following Jesus was really, this was just for some sort of super zealous disciples. This isn't for everybody, this whole like following Jesus. But in fact, it is for everyone. If you want to call yourself a Christian, you can't say, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not really all about following Jesus. I sort of want to do my own thing, and I'll go my own way, and you guys can follow him because I see that you're really all about that, and you're really fired up about it. But that's not really for me. I'm not really that big into it. I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm not going to walk that path. That's not really an option. Look at chapter 10 and verse 38. Jesus says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So it is simply a requirement to be a Christian that we follow Jesus. That seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? But I really think a lot of people don't think that through. And they think, I'm going to be a Christian, like I'm going to sign up and get my, you know, the magazine, the mail, and I'm going to be a membership. But I'm not really all about being totally on board with everything. I'm sort of got other things going on, and that's sort of a side thing. And that's not the way it works. It's to either say, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm walking his path and doing things his way, and he's leading the way, or not. But you don't have the option to not do that. Jesus says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Now, sometimes I think we think, especially most of us here, oh, yeah, but I did that. I remember that day. It was the best decision I ever made. And I made that choice, and I'm right there. I'm on that path. But, you know, in Luke's account, Jesus says, if anyone in Luke 9:23 would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this is not a choice that you made. I mean, you might have made the choice 20, 30 years ago, but it isn't. That's not the end of it. It's every day. Today, tomorrow morning when we wake up, I'm going to follow Jesus today. Tuesday morning when you wake up, today I'm going to follow Jesus. Wednesday morning, I'm going to follow. Every day we decide, I'm going to take up my cross, and today I'm following Jesus. Today I'm following Jesus. Today I'm following Jesus. Every day we make that commitment in our lives so that we can continue to follow him. It's not something that we just sign up for once and it's all over with. Now, one of the challenges in following Jesus every day is that sometimes there's other things that are distracting and inviting and tempting. And we think, hey, I don't know, I kind of, I'm tempted to take this little detour. I'm tempted to take this path. Like driving down the highway, and there's all these signs that are saying, exit now. Take the next exit. Take this exit. and maybe some of it's not even good stuff. Showgirls next, you know, in 3 miles or something. They take this exit to go to this place, and it's this temptations, you know. Pull off here, and there's these things for you that you would enjoy. And so following Jesus, Satan's forevermore putting up a billboard saying, pull off here, exit now. And you know, there's, and so we think, hey, I think that looks appealing to me. But we have to, if we're going to follow Jesus, we can't give, turn to chapter 16. We can't give in to those temptations. Matthew chapter 16. Says in verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So following Jesus means saying no to myself. And that's a hard part of following Jesus, because Jesus is walking along this path, and there's part of me that wants to go this other way. And I have to learn how to say no to myself. That's hard. It's hard to say no to myself. You can experience that if you're, you know, in any kind of endeavor in life where you're drawn to do something, and you have to learn how to say no to myself. And that's not easy, but that's part of self-control, and that's part of being a Christian. Because if I'm going to walk Jesus' way, I'm going to follow where He's leading, and I'm going to have to tell myself I'm not going to give in to that. Now, the alternative, and hold your place there and turn over to Ephesians 2. The alternative to following Jesus might look like what's on the screen. Okay, so what's on the screen is, over here, I can do whatever I want to do. And over here, I got to do what Jesus tells me to do. And a lot of people see the choice that way. The choice is between me having the freedom to do whatever I feel like versus giving up all that freedom and doing what Jesus says. But in fact, there's a hidden part of that direction. And we see it here in Ephesians chapter 2. He says in verse 1, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So in fact, that path is the path of doing whatever I want. But really, I think I'm in control. I feel like I'm making my own choices, but it's Satan. And the way that I can picture that is, imagine that you lay out little treats and you're trying to like trap some wild animal. So you've got a trap over here, and you know he's somewhere over there in that thicket. And so you just lay out this little path to the trap. Now that animal thinks, ooh, you know, and it's making its own choice. Ah, this is really good. I like this. Hey, that's really good. Hey, look, there's another one. And it's leading him to his death. In the same way, we might feel like, hey, I'm not a Christian. I'm going to do whatever I want. But who's laying out the goodies for you? Who is it that's pulling you away? That's been orchestrated to take you away from God and to your own destruction. So it feels like freedom in some way, but in fact, as Jesus says, and as Paul says in Romans 6, it's slavery. It is a slavery to sin, a slavery to Satan. It isn't the freedom to do whatever you want to do. It's really you get to choose, am I going to follow the Lord's path or am I going to follow Satan's path? That's really the only two choices. And the answer to that question is, where are these things leading me? What is it that's going to take me to? All right, back to Matthew now, Matthew 19 this time. One of the main desires of this world that we have is the desire to pile up a bunch of material things. I saw a little clip, a little thing on Facebook. It illustrates this pretty well. It's kind of humorous. It won't have any sound, but hopefully you'll appreciate it. This is what a lot of people spend their life doing with when it comes to stuff. And that is, we try to say, how much stuff can I get and tote around and carry and have with me? So anyway, when I saw it, I thought, that's a pretty good illustration of greed, isn't it? That's a pretty good, it shows kind of that mindset that I think I can have this and I can have that and I'll have some more. It reminded me of a passage in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting. only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. People that don't know any better, don't have any sense, spend their life gathering and collecting. They think that's what life's about. The score is how much you've gathered up, how many oranges you're toting around, how much stuff you've got piled up at your place. That's how we keep score. That's how we know who's ahead in this game anyway. That's how we know who's winning, is who's doing the best gathering and collecting. Is life more than that? Absolutely. And if we follow Jesus, we understand that life is more to that. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 19, in talking to the rich young ruler, we mentioned that this morning, but again, in our lesson tonight, verse 21, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." It's as if Jesus says to us, what if I told you, you got to put all that stuff down and leave all that behind and walk away and just come follow me? Now, that's the choice he gives this man. The rich young ruler is like the chimpanzee. He's loaded down. And Jesus says, look, you can't bring all that stuff on the trail. You just got to like leave it. Give it to somebody else that needs it and come follow me. And he said, he can't do it. He can't part with it. He's too stuck. He's forced to make a choice. And the stuff won the day, which is sad. In fact, he says he went away sorrowful. I mean, he was sad about it, but the stuff was the master. Remember what Jesus said? We looked at it this morning. You can't serve two. You got to choose who's the God here. Who is it that I'm serving, or who's got control of me? And, you know, somebody might say, well, if following Jesus means giving all these things up, and it's a hard path, and it's not easy, and I can't do the things that look like they'd be fun to me, why should I walk this path anyway? And in Matthew 19, we get a pretty good answer there when Peter asked Jesus about this. Verse 27, Peter said in reply, well, see, we have left everything and followed you. They did what Jesus told that rich young ruler to do. They walked away from him. Remember, they walked away from the boats and all that stuff. What then will we have? And Jesus said to him, verse 28, truly, truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a certain part of that that applies to the apostles, the 12 thrones and those kinds of things. But in a very real sense, Jesus is saying, follow me, because Jesus is on his way somewhere else. Isn't that anything to think about? So Jesus comes through town, and he says, hey, follow me. Well, where's he going? Isn't that the whole point? If somebody says, hey, come and follow me, you wouldn't want to say, where am I going? You see those bumper stickers, follow me to, you know, whatever it is they're advertising. Follow me to this place. I'm headed there. Why don't you come with me? Follow me, and I'm going to show, we'll go together. So Jesus comes through, and he says, hey, follow me. Where is he headed? He's going to a better place. He's going home. He's going to his Father. So how am I going to get there if I don't follow him? How am I going to end up where he is if I don't walk with him in the direction he is going? Turn to John chapter 14. We're going to shift gears now and go over to John, look at a couple passages there, and the lesson will be yours. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying, there's a great place. It's going to be wonderful. They got something made for you. Place for you, prepared. It's going to be awesome. And you know how to get there. I don't know how to get there. Yes, you do. I'm the way there. How is Jesus the way there? Follow me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to lead you from where you are to where I'm going. So you can come be with me, and we'll be there together. But I can't do that if I don't follow him and walk the path that he is showing me. And even though the path in this life has its difficulties, it also has its blessings. Because in fact, turn back to chapter 8. What we find out is that walking Jesus' way is good for us. It's walking in the light is having the blessings even in this life. He says in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Would you rather stumble around in the darkness? And that's the way he describes it, you know, they're just stumbling around in the darkness. Or would you rather walk in the light and know where you're going and know where your path is headed and understand the truth about things? It really sometimes comes down to trusting God, just like David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. So he trusted the Lord was going to lead him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. He trusted that God was going to lead him. And that following him through the valley of the shadow of death hints at the fact that sometimes following the Lord leads in directions that might look a little frightening. And that's true for us as well, that following Jesus might lead through some suffering. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you've been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. So if we're back and we're watching and we're saying, no, wait a minute, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to walk where he walked and I'm going to go where he went, but look where his path took him. That's some pretty scary things that happened to Jesus. And I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to walk through that. That looks like it would be painful and shameful. And Peter says he left us a path to follow. But where is he on the other side of that? He went through that, and now he's ascended, and now he's with his Father. So our path might lead through suffering. It might lead through hard times. In fact, we should almost expect it because we're walking the path that Jesus left for us. We're following him. But we can trust him, just like David trusted the Lord as his shepherd, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid. Now turn to John 21. We're getting close to where we started. John 21, verse 18. Now this is at the end of Jesus' ministry, of course. This is at the end of the story. He's almost about to ascend into heaven. He's risen from the dead. He's had breakfast with the disciples. And now he's talking to Peter. And he says in verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. And I love that passage because it ends the way it began. When Jesus walked by the boat, and they had the miraculous catch of fish where we started. He said, follow me, and they left their nets and walked away from it. And here at the end of the story, they've been fishing again. They fished all night again, like the first time. They didn't catch anything again. Jesus said, try casting on the other side. They caught their boat full of fish again. And John figures out and says, it's the Lord. And Peter dives in and swims to shore. And Jesus has this conversation with him, but he calls him again, just like he did that first time. He said, follow me. But this time he lets him know, along this path, it's going to lead to your being crucified. I mean, that's what he's telling him. Somebody's going to stretch your hands out, and they're going to lead you in a direction you don't want to go. He told him that to tell him by what kind of death he would die, what kind of death he would glorify God. And yet, hang in there. You follow me. Because look at what happened to Jesus. He rose from the dead. And the same thing, the same promise is there for us. Sometimes, though, we get distracted by what other people are doing. And notice that that's what happens with Peter here. In verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned against him during the supper, and said, Lord, who is that? And who had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Verse 21, when Peter saw him, talking about John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it's my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. He had just told Peter how his life would end. Someone's going to lead you in a certain way, stretch out your hand. He's talking to Peter about what's going to happen to you. Peter got curious, what about him? What's going to happen to him? He said, well, if it's my will that he live forever, what does that have to do with you? You follow me. Peter was curious about John. He was worried about what about John? What about his story? And that doesn't have anything to do with Peter, does it? You follow me. And I think sometimes people get stuck and they think, well, what about them? What about them? What about these other people? They know the right thing to do, but they're thinking about somebody else. Well, what's going to happen to them? Or what about this person? Or maybe they know hypocrites in the church. Or maybe they have family that thinks something different. Or they all these distractions. And I wonder if Jesus would just say to us, look, I'm talking to you. Don't worry about them. I mean, of course, worry about them in sharing the gospel, but that's not your concern. Your concern is you follow me. It is a choice that each one of us as individuals have to decide. That is the invitation. Are you going to follow the Lord? If you will, he'll lead you home. He'll lead you to where he is. That's the only way to get there. If there's someone here tonight who hasn't yet decided to follow the Lord, this would be the perfect time to do that. And we would love nothing more than to end the day on that note. If you want to make that commitment, say, I want to follow Jesus, then let us know as we stand and sing.